The street's been asking for it, so it's time you give them what they want. Instincts, hit them with that A1, unfiltered product.
I guess I can't tell y'all where I'm going till I show you where I come from.
Tune in to whichever the show here on the Spanish Radio. As we do every third one every month, you don't have to know the business owner, artist, one with something to do, call to 3-7-202-0318. That's 3-7-202-0318. What you got going on? As I always say, when I'm ending every show. Yep. I say that because I see a lot of people starting businesses, and you want to reach the masses with whatever business you have just started. You know, people that know you, are the people that are on your friends list on your social media platforms. That's the only people you know. There's many people out there that you know, so they can support you for what you are doing. There's a lot of artists out there who got music. And some of them happen to be on friends list on social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They post their music and we listen and we say, I like this. Our people should be hearing this. And this is why I created the Promote Your Business Show. So that entrepreneurs who just started out or established, they just call in and promote themselves. Because if you just read a book, you want people to go support you and go read your book, you know, platform to do it. And what I used to do on my social media platform is when anybody who's an artist, a business, I would post about their business. An artist, go check out this artist. But if I haven't done it in a while because people haven't been posting their music, stuff like that, And if it's a business I could just easily like top, when you just post a new product, I'll be posting on my TikTok. I go like it on Instagram. I like it when I post to Facebook. And what I do, support your friends, you know, a business, even if you, it's something that you're not, let's say, person started a business, and you don't eat sweet, right, you don't eat cookies and all that stuff, but that doesn't mean that when they post about their bakery business, they can't share it with their friend. So, just because you don't eat sweets don't mean you can't help support someone's business. What you can do is when you post, you repost it. Right? When they post, you repost it. Get your support by buying items and giving family members, or if your children like sweets, give it to children that is sweets. You know, just because you don't eat it, you can't give it that eat it. We all of us are talking about roads of stardom. It's all about supporting the entrepreneur, the owner, the artist. Been doing radio for 12 years, so you know that I definitely support the artist. If I've been doing it for 12 years, I definitely support the artist. So if you are an artist out there and you got good music, you can go to roadstardom.net or you can hit me up at 201-399-2014. I'd love to get you over to the station. You're going to call 201-399-2014. You know that means that you're an artist or whatever your business. If it's a business, like I said, a bakery business, I'm just using an example, and you want to be a part of the Promote Your Business show, you don't call me, know you're a business part of the Promote Your Business. I would say at the end of every show, I let you know the date of when the next one is, and let you know that every third Wednesday of the month is when we do the Promote Your Business show. And I thought about doing it, you know, I thought about doing it 2 days out of the month, because sometimes they might be busy that day that they can't make it. Some people might be busy and can't make it. So maybe if I do it on another day in the same month, maybe they can make that thing. But this is the 100th episode today. Is the 100th episode of doing this show. And throughout doing this 100 times, people with businesses have spoken. I've always given the people a platform to share what they're doing. And I tell them, and I say, if you can't come, just hit me up at roadstardom.net. Send me a message. Other info business I would for you, like friends of mine who have started businesses, they couldn't make it, so start their business where you can go. They didn't have a website. I gave you their social media. You check through their social media, hit them up there. So they purchase products if they, you know, online business. Like Gigi's Products is one of the businesses that before she had a website, I would tell you about her business, what her products were, which is all natural. She got soap. She had some soap, shea butter. She had the one I like, the mango body butter she had. And I tell people about that, and, you know, before she had the website. So give them social media where they can go, or just tell them to look up Gigi's products so they can purchase. think last month, she's called times. She's always dropping product. So she always, when she can, she calls about her new products. And I think last month, even though I didn't have full information, I shared with y'all my sis being a published author. I shared with y'all my sis being a published author. And the book is out. And I remember the name. It's your time, sis. Then that's in the book. I could be. Let me make sure. Because even though, and it's available on Kindle, go to Amazon. Put in your time, sis. You will see that it's available on for $2.99. If you join Kindle Unlimited, you get to read it for free. And I read it. I didn't read everybody's story, but I read a few stories. The woman who put the book together, I read her story. The woman whose story is after her. I got to my friend's story, my sister, and when I read the story, I was in tears because names, even though names were changed, I knew who she was speaking of, and when I read her story, it almost had me in tears because you hear me mention my brother. And you mentioned her story, his change, but you know the story because she ain't the only one that lived it. It was other people that lived the same story she's speaking of. It hurt her more. When you lose the one you love, that you deeply have love for, you don't want to live. You don't want to live. You say to yourself, I wish I was with them. I don't want to be here. I wish I was with them. And, like, I have her on here telling her story, sharing what she found in the book. Because she really has a testimony that a lot of women, but men go through too. But we don't, a lot of people go through the same stories, but we don't hear about it. And sometimes when we do hear about it, when it's too late, because some people, recently we lost Twitch boss. He committed suicide. We don't know what was going on in his life. Because when we see him on TikTok sharing videos dancing with his wife, his kids, or whatever, we see a happy person. But behind all that, we don't know what's going on. And to hear that he committed suicide, it's like, wow, here we hear all of us. He was this happy go lucky person and was hiding things. And the question is real. Just because when it comes to mental illness, there are no symptoms that shows on a person and let you know they are dealing with depression. There's no symptoms to let you know they're dealing with bipolar disorder. There is no symptoms to let you know they're dealing with PTSD. Until that person has outbursts. Because I've been on TV where they show people with PTSD and they like an episode outburst, as you would call it. And people, you know, would think they're crazy is that they've been through something in life that, and most of the people dealing with PTSD are veterans from the military, and they've dealt with stuff that the average citizen of America has never had to deal with. Terrorists sent to foreign countries, either to help that country because they are with another country and they need help, or we're at war with that country and we're in the country, you know, to make sure they're not doing nothing to harm over here in America. And the things they see, little kids being used as human bombs, not even just little kids, adults being used as human bombs. You see, if you watch like NCIS episode 2, they have, and this happens really in real life in the military, these foreign countries will use people as human. They were strapped with bombs. I know this is the Promote Your Business show, but I'm saying, you know, and they would use them as human bombs over to where the American troops are. And they would have us to detonate the bomb. So now is the bomb that killed the American, harmed the soldiers, killed a little person, has nothing to do with what the war is about. And really, the war really be about nothing. It's just that the countries want to have, it's like Americans, like they want to have over other countries. Because some are dictators, some are dictators. You know, I think Japan is one of them. Something wrong. Foreign country, they do something wrong. They don't. I mean, it's taking really pelting rocks at you until they hit you. I watched the episode of MacGyver, and the man coming home, they had him tied up, handcuffed, and they killed him. For whatever he committed, they killed him. And you know, watching MacGyver is all about getting out of tricky situations, you know, or helping people. He couldn't help that man because he was next in line to be killed by this military. And when they put him in this, I guess they shut place, you heard the gunshots go off of them killing that man handcuffed. And what I'm saying is, like, I'm trying to get, you know, mental health. This is why veterans that come home from the military have PTSD, they see stuff like that. To be in a foreign land, to see a kid being used as a human bomb, or just an innocent person used as a human bomb, and it goes over, you have to see that. Or they in your, one of your the officer next to you, you know, get, and you had to witness that. That's a lot. That is a lot. So what I'm saying is, you don't know what people are going through mental health issues, and mental health doesn't have symptoms. They're visible symptoms to be like, oh, this person has bipolar. This person has anxiety or whatever it is mental are dealing with. There are no symptoms to show you that that's what they're dealing with. They look normal to you, and so you say, oh, they don't have no mental issues. They look normal to me. They may look normal, but maybe they're not. You know, her, I said, well, her, but I'm going back to my friend now, that my, this, her sharing her story, and I knew as every part of it, I knew exactly who the people that she was talking about. And it's like sharing her testimony and the people that are reading it that don't know her is learning about her for the first time. But those that know her, it's like, wow. I didn't know, because mental illness or doesn't have symptoms for anybody to be like, I know what you're going through. For the one you love, and years later, his friend is killed. That's a lot. You know, you're picking yourself up, you know, you're picking yourself up saying, I got this funk, I got to get better, you know, I got people depending on me, and you're slowly, surely getting out of the funk, and then it happens all over again. And then it puts you back in the place you were trying to get out of. You understand? You back in the place you were trying to get out of, you know. So I see we have 4764 and I to promote or want. You could just press I will open your mic. And again, it's your time, sis. I'm gonna go read the. I'm gonna read everybody's story. But I wanted to make sure I read her. Because when you love somebody for years, we've known each other since we were kids, and now we're adults, and it's like, wow. You know, a lot of people are mental suffering silence. And I'm gonna pick a lot of people and suffering silence. They don't never share with any. They don't ever share what they're going through with anybody. And you know, you call a numb because they need vent. And it's like, oh, this person telling me to vent, and it's like, damn, I'm going through something, but I want to help them. And it's like, they help. They still help. Others, even though they're going through stuff. So, like I said, the book is it's your answers. It's a plethora of sharing their testimony, and you might read one, and it may hit home for you. You was in that same predicament. You just never shared your story. So I'm gonna open your mic. Your mic is open. What's up?
3, 4, 7.
Good evening, Shanita. Oh, there she goes.
How you doing? Good evening to you. First and foremost, Yes. But first, before you give me my flowers, I need to give you your flowers and celebrate you in your 100th episode of your radio talk show. This is not something light. This is not something just, it's a milestone, basically, because there's some people who probably didn't even last 10 shows. Congratulations to you. I'm wishing you 100, 200, 300 more, and much success to you, my sister.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm really excited, because I'm like, I just wanted to ask you one question before we get on me, because I need to know. This is something very important. 100 episodes, regardless if it's one person in the audience, to 100, what kept you going?
What keeps you going? This particular show, I started it. Nobody's calling in to promote what, I put the word out there, no one's calling in. So I said, you know, for a while, and I said, you know what? I'm seeing people through social media, on my friends list, and I'm starting. I said, let me show that, and I did, and had people call in. Some people will call in and share what they are doing. Artists will call in. We just started business. Will call in and share, But not all the time. So if somebody put something of a business they were part of or something they would needed to be promoted, if they didn't call it, I still promote it by talking about it. So even if people don't call in, I see them post, because, people are busy or they have forgotten. Some people forget, and then they're like, oh, I'll do the next one. And it's like, you get busy in life, that's not something that's going to be a top priority for you, that I'm going to call in to promote my business. So that's why I say to people, you can't call and do it. You can put in the information about your business. I will gladly read it on air, because we reach people all over the world. So people... My top right now of people listening is Argentina. So just think, people in Argentina is going to hear it that you're in. Now, just say if you didn't call in, and I'm telling the people inside on Amazon, and they read books. So you got people in Argentina reading books that you're featured in, and reading your testimony. And they know they are Argentina, they still can probably relate. Even if the people are in other countries, they still relate to your
most definitely.
People in America, Canada, not just Argentina, Canada, France, United Kingdom. So just people in those countries are hearing your story, and it's like, I can relate.
Yes. That is, to me, it's really huge. It's not really a small thing. I hope that in some way you take the time to celebrate yourself in whatever way it is, but celebrate that accomplishment, because it takes determination, it takes a strong will to continue to do something, continue to stay on the path that God has set before you without seeing the reward or the accolades before you get there. So I am really proud of you, as you like a sister to me. I can't tell you how inspiring you and your story is, and how I see you keep going, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. You never know, one day it may turn into a talk radio, to a talk show, to where you're all over the world internationally, not just on the radio, but also it could be, you know, something to where you never know. You could be the next Chevy or the next Whoopi Goldberg, you know, far as when it comes to media and broadcasting. I want to thank you so much because I have to say to you, I was listening to you just now when you spoke about the book. Now, first, let me introduce myself. My name is Nicolette Boykin. I can say now, internationally, bestseller list, The Isha Time Sis, by Shaquan Hoke. Also by, basically, from my understanding, Tamika, let me make sure I say on that, Tamika Hall. And these were two, I never met Tamika, but just from seeing her work, Extraordinary Women. And this book is an anthology. It's an anthology of a collective of 9 other women. I don't have the list. I'm going to look for it. But if you go onto Amazon, look for It's Your Time, Sis, by Shaquan Hoke. It's an inspiring testimony of many different women, many different backgrounds, many different experiences, and how God and faith guided us, protected us, and saw us through something. One of the most significant things to me was that I'm going to tell you this totally came to me not by plan. I've always been into food service. I've always loved cooking. I did poetry years ago, but never seriously thought about doing writing. I grew up in a culture where certain things that we experience, we don't talk about. We just sort of, it's in our DNA. We just keep going. We just keep moving. And I just felt as if when I prayed to God, I'm going to tell you the whole story. I prayed to God, and I said, this has to be more to this life for me, God. Show me the way. You know, I have so much to give, but I hide myself away. She called me immediately the next day, Shanita, and said, Nicolette, how are you? How have you been? I have something that I want you to be a part of. This is what it's going to entail. This is what you got to do. And I'm going to tell you, I was in shock. I couldn't believe that my prayer was answered almost in less than a 14-hour span. I was excited. I was scared because I'm sharing a part of myself that I hid away so long. You know, in this life, in this generation, we wear masks. Everything is about the image. Everything is about the outside. So I grew up and caught sort of, you know, with that same way of thinking. But once she said that to me, I felt like, you know what? And she said those exact words to me. It's your time, sis. It's your time. And it was a grueling process. It wasn't an easy process. But, you know, I was determined no matter what came in my way, no matter what happened in the process, I needed to share my testimony, even if I save one person or touch one person and let them know it's okay. You're not the only one going through this. I think that even when you were just explaining the story about the veterans and PTSD, that diagnosis initially came with the veterans because they never really talked about what happens with trauma, right, and how these things play in your mind. When they say post-traumatic stress syndrome, right, PTSD. Or diagnosis, or whatever the other word for it is, right? And it's basically a traumatic experience replaying in your mind. And your mind is very much like a tape recorder. What you record, you can replay. So with that in mind, I went through all these things. I felt as if I could touch someone, one person. If I could save one soul, then I did my duty, and that God used my pain, my struggles, my obstacles as to save someone else, not to give up. And basically, for me, it was a thing to talk about mental health and the importance of us normalizing imperfection. Society has bamboozled all of us that you have to be perfect. You have to be look a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way. Why can't we all be embraced for our differences? So this is a philosophy I have in my life. And when you said, sister, something that really brought tears in my eyes just now, how you said, there by my side, through all of these things, you know that I changed the name around. Yes, you knew what I was talking about. But you didn't know the depths on which the effect happened. And I just wanted to first and foremost thank Shaquan Hoke and Tamika Hall, all the other women, which is 9 other beautiful, blessed, anointed women of God who took a chance on themselves and opened themselves up to share their stories, because it's scary to share your truth because you have so many people that will try to break you down for doing the right things. So it's you have to. For me, it was, God wants me to do this. I have no choice but to do it. I'm glad, and I thank you for touching on mental health, because that was my particular chapter, which was, I talked about mind control and how important it is to gain some control of your mind and your thoughts, you know. Shanita, I just want to say that what you said about reading it really touched me, because it was confirmation that people were going to understand what I don't have the experiences these other women. I don't have some of the education of some of these women. I don't have the titles, but I was anointed to share my story. And I think we need to normalize and promote and uplift each other. I'm so proud of you of promoting businesses, because I believe if we supported each other more, things would be more stable. It's too much of a competition or the ego. People feel, I don't know why they feel that way, but they feel as if by exalting you or uplifting you is somehow take something from them, which is totally untrue. By you uplifting other businesses, it's going to help your platform, because more people are going to come forward. So I thank you so much for taking the time out, not only to purchase the book, to talk about it, but also to give feedback, because that is very important. That's really important for writers. And particularly, I want to make a quick point, though. The book is no longer, that was a pre-launch sale for $2.99. But when you do join Kindle on Amazon, you can get unlimited reading for $9.99, which is true. But I'm going to be promoting in 2023 the hard copy. I'll be doing it in pop-up shops, wherever I can basically put this beautiful anthology out into the world. And we actually went internationally number one already within 24 hours.
Congratulations on that. It's not easy as an author, when you put out a book, to become selling, become a best-selling book.
I know. That blew my mind. I was totally amazed. I mean, my mentor, Shaquan, she's used to it because I think this is maybe her seventh time becoming a bestseller internationally. Internationally. So, you know, sometimes I would say if I had to give anyone advice right now and just have a broader view than what's in front of you, what's in front of you is a small spot on the world. The world is so much bigger. I'm a Bronx girl that went international, probably to places that I haven't even been to. But people will know about me by me sharing my story. Just like you, you're a Bronx girl turned Jersey girl, right? But you started this platform because you wanted to talk about and promote and talk about different things from music, fashion, the industry, businesses. And look at you now, 100 episodes. Like, a lot of people ain't doing that no more.
No. Like, there are people who still promote business, but it's just people they know. Like, I don't have to know you for you to be able to call in and promote what you're doing. You know, you need the promotion. You started a new business, no one knows you but the people who follow you through your social media because they see you posting about your business. But you want to reach those who follow you through social media. You know, you want to reach those people who do like to shop at your own online clothing store. They're looking for new stuff that they want to wear. They want to be different. They don't want to wear what everybody else is wearing. They look for new stuff want to wear so they can support by you calling or even sending in your information. People hear it and oh, okay, I'm at that business. I see something I like. That's all it was about.
That really is so true. That is so true.
Giving opportunity to those who don't get opportunity, and just think you put. Shaquan got the book. She's reaching the people she know because she's telling people she know. And they're telling people they know. And all the people who are featured in the book, people they know. But there are people that none of us know that could be hearing about it and be like, you know what? I'm an avid reader. I'm going to check it out to see what I can get from it by hearing people's, because there are people who've gone through the same thing you have gone through, but you don't even know it. By them reading your testimony, they go, oh, I've been through the same thing, but I never was diagnosed that it was PTSD, I never was diagnosed that it was bipolar disorder. I was diagnosed because I needed to seek help. You know, like the book say in the community, you know, what's setting, like, stop going to see a therapist? No. That was a thing that Black people did, go see therapy. But now, there are Black people going to see a therapist because it helps them to.
You need them. When you spoke about Twitch earlier, I had the same reaction. I was in shock. I also cried. He was always smiling, always in a happy mood. If you look on his social media, he touched on serious things, but always for other people. And, you know, they say this, it's a cliche saying that they have on social media, check on your strong friends, but it's actually true.
They say it all the time. Every time we hear about a celebrity or just anyone in general committing suicide, we say, check on your strong friends. Those are the ones we want to, because when you think about it, most of the people who vent because they're going through something, it's not even that big of a, I won't say big of a deal, but it's not as big as what the person who they are strong is going through. And they
categorize it as a cry for help. When I see people do those, from my personal experience, because I lost a very close friend, well, I'm not going to name their name, but most people that are close to me in our circle know who the person is. It was a shock because he was that strong friend. He was that one with the smile all the time, sunny disposition. Never seen him mad, angry, or acting out. And I never saw it coming.
You know, when we're like people we know, like, oh, you know, and then when you, after everything died down here, why the person did it, it was like, wow. And it's like, here I'm thinking, and then you say, you know, here I'm thinking that I'm going to do something else. But this person, situation was worse than mine, and they always kept a smile on their face. You know,
yeah, it was deep because the day after a book launched, right before I found out that my tablet went out, right, and it was so profound because when I saw that on social media, in my mind I had said, oh, God, they're going to be talking about this all for the next 24 hours right after I just dropped my book. So it's like I was conflicted because I'm celebrating my accomplishment. But even though I didn't know him on a personal level, it triggered me.
For those who have health issues, any stuff like that can trigger you, and people share this. There are people who share this with me and say, I had days where I was watching a show. It's a guy, he had a show with him who committed suicide more than once on his life, still here. And he said he was that same person, you know, that show you all that, you know, that I'm this happy-go-lucky person, but really, I was, you know, really dealing with a lot. And it's like, wow. It's time to go. Those attempts didn't go through because God said it wasn't his time to go. And God said, I need you to tell your story to help people. So he wrote a book. I think he wrote a book about he was an NFL player, ex-NFL player. And these NFL players go through situations too, because some, you know, they get let go from a team, and football all they know is all they want to do, get let go from a team, then another team doesn't pick them up. And people say, oh, we hear all these players get millions of dollars from their contract, but if you're a football player, Not all of them is making millions of dollars. The ones that are getting the shine, like Brady, he's making millions of dollars for the team. That's how they see it. He's making money for us, so we got to give him what he deserves, for him to keep making money for us, to keep people coming into the stadium, watching the game, and all the. But there are those players that you don't hear about that are always on the sideline, sitting on the bench, and they don't know if they're going to get because teams talk about, we need this, we got to trade a player, and a lot of these players don't get a lot of money. Yeah, he might get $1 million contract. Out of that $1 million, he's not getting $1 million. He might get a half of that, and then he has to pay his agent. His agent get about, let's say, between 15 to 20% of whatever his deal is. Out of that deal, agent is about 15-20%. So he's really not putting away a lot in his pocket like other players are. I just think if a team lets them go and other teams don't pick them up, they're no longer football players. What are they going to do for money? Because if they're not making a lot, and you know how people, when they get their first check, they want to be all extravagant and buy stuff instead of saving their money, and they wind up with no money. It's the same NBA. They get these contracts, sign with these teams, and the teams are like, I got to cut somebody, and the other teams don't want to pick them up. And first check, what do? Spend their money instead of saving it, because you know when something's going to happen that you're on the team and the other teams may not pick you up. You never know. And you hear a lot of stories of players that, like, you was playing in the NFL, or you was playing, it doesn't matter that they got a contract. That's exactly what they're getting. No. They don't get a whole million. Nobody who signs a contract gets the whole million that they get, or whatever amount they are offered. They get a portion of that, and another portion of their option goes to the agent. And you got to think, you working with an agent and other players, they get 10 or they get, I say, between 15-20% from you, 15-20% from another. So they get in money, but once you're no longer needed on the team, and they either trade another team, or they just go completely, where's that money going to come from? Yeah, you might be saved, but it's still not enough to survive how you would survive if you were playing. Because everything changes. The way you guys are going to change, because a lot of these are getting mansions to live in. Knowing what their salary is, really afford to live in. As long as they're still playing, they could afford to live in that bunch of top plane. What you're going to do is live with a man because you're not making that same amount of money. So it's like, and what's the basketball player? Delonte West, who Someone saw him in L.A., and he was homeless, living on the street. And to find out, he has mental illness. I think he has PTSD. I think he has PTSD. I'm not sure if it's a bipolar disorder, but no, he got PTSD. and he's been living on the streets. And, you know, people try to help him, and it's like he didn't want the help. That's another thing I think about when you come across people who are dealing with mental illness. I said there is no symptoms to tell you this is bipolar, symptoms to tell you this person is dealing with PTSD. And people wanted to help him, but he didn't want help. People wanted to help him. He wanted to help. He was on the street.
You know, I think there's a certain level of astigmatism when it comes to mental health, because you can have a mental health episode without having prolonged mental health illness, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, I get it. But the thing,
and I'm not a doctor. I'm not. I don't have a PhD. I don't have any. But I'm just speaking from my experience that.
Yeah.
What triggered?
I wish he would have that help. I wish he would have some people he knew. But I get it. Some people have that pride. Have pride. Where, like, might say they want to help them. You just want to help so you could talk about me, so you can know my business and what's going on with me, and then start talking about me. Some people feel that way. Like, they feel like most people who say they want to help are not genuine.
And not only that, what you say to mental health professionals is documented, it's noted, and there is a clause to where if you are harm to yourself or others, you can be put on a 72-hour hold. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll be institutionalized, depending on the severity. But I think we need to normalize not being perfect, because all of the things where you just talked about the NFL player, okay, your whole life you're being told you're going to be an NFL player. Injury happens. Then who are you? You become a star. You're successful. You make a huge mistake. Aren't you still human?
Mm-hmm.
Without the money, without the material things, without all the outside things, you're still a soul. You're still a spirit. You're still a human. And I think that, and I hope that, my hope is that even when we go through those tragedies, there's a rainbow or a light at the end of the tunnel to show you that it doesn't always rain. Is it always darkness? The light has to come out. We have to get through those times when you may feel like, but I can't judge or say, you know, I do probably wish that he would have sought help, but I don't know how loud that voice in his head was. I don't know what type of demons or whatever it was that was going on to drive this man there. So it would be unfair for me to say that, because maybe it was a pain too unbearable for him to live with anymore. And I believe that's where suicide comes into play. But just, you know, so we don't get so dark, because we just took a totally wrong left turn. Thank you so much for touching on, and it's like, to me, you read my chapter and you got it. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
You got what I was trying to articulate, to convey to people, that we are all human. We're in this human experience together. But I don't know what your pains may have been or what you go through, because, you know, we're all hidden. We wear the mask. If we all could take the mask off and just realize we're in this human experience together, I believe we could save a whole lot more people's lives.
Yep. Because when that happened to my brother, and people would like to talk, no one was mad at King, and King never was mad at him.
No, I really don't, you know.
I'm saying this. I'm saying I was mad at King knew because it was said that he was there and that happened, and he left my brother. So I don't
and
know.
And that wasn't the truth. A lot of people that was see that's the whole thing. There it is, right there. I'm glad that you said that. People. When people go through a traumatic experience, right, everyone reacts different. So one person may be screaming through the trauma. Another person may be just making up all these different scenarios because something is happening so unbelievable, their mind can't grasp it. So they make up stories or make up scenarios in their mind. A lot of things that were said and told were totally untrue. Totally untrue. Which is unfair to those people because how do you take something like that back? How do you accuse someone based off of information without it?
And he never knew, nobody knew it, but when we were at the funeral and it was, you know, they were saying, everybody, you know, they was doing the viewing and, you know, they, you know, everybody say they or whatever. King was standing next to me, and I didn't stand next to me. And like whenever I saw, I had the same face. I didn't show it, but you know, I had the same face because it was said. I said, "You can't say that you're my brother's boy, and then beat it and leave him like that." You know I'm saying
it's a very touchy subject, to be honest with you, because some things people said the same thing to Snoop. People said the same thing to him, and I feel those people were equally wrong. I don't think that way. I my mind is elevated to where if a tragedy happened, right, and someone says, listen, this happened, I reacted fast. I'm not going to hold someone else accountable because I believe in the power of God, and I believe that even if I've seen stories where, look at 50 Cent got shot 9 times and lived. But the love of my life got shot once or twice and died. So I'm elevated spiritually enough to know it's easier to blame someone else than to accept the truth.
Like, I was just mad. You know, where we grew up at, you know, we hear stories all the time, 9 out of 10, some true and some not. But you know, when you hear a story like that, it didn't have to be, it didn't even have to be when they mentioned anybody that was close to my brother to hear anybody that was close to my brother to hear that they was here and they just they don't want to get injured either, but to just, you know, like to leave him there. That's what I'm like. But that's what messed me up. And then, you know, I'm like, you know, I was not over it, but just at that time, to hear that, like, you when you left, you know what I'm saying, like, it's like you when you left there. And I'm sure, like you said, because my brother was with him when it happened, and I'm sure they probably said, but he could have died too. So it'd have been 2 people instead of 1. And that all happened because of mistakes I didn't. thinking he was somebody else from the block. I'm like, when I hear stories of, like, they're shooting in the air, I'm like, when I heard that was a mistake of identity, and that's what, I'm like, how?
You know, you got, can I just say something that's another false statement?
That was?
And yeah, that was definitely a false statement. It was not a mistaken identity shooting. That's not true.
That's what was, we're not going to say the person's name, but.
No, but you know, let's not even get into the details of that because we're kind of steering away from.
I'm not getting into details. I'm just saying that's what I said, and I'm like.
That wasn't true.
I'm like, he don't bother nobody. He don't do, he doesn't bother anybody.
And there wasn't many people that looked like him, so it was never a mistaken identity. Some, you know, people project. One thing that I've learned about the streets, right, social media, people create false narratives to cover the truth. People create, like, let's say, for instance, I'm nobody in my neighborhood, right? I'm nobody. I'm a regular person. People walk past me every day like I'm nobody. But if I became someone, if I became famous, all of a sudden a billion stories will come out about me that you never heard before. And it ain't because of nothing else except to glorify themselves. People create false narratives. It's human nature. They did it in biblical days. They'll whisper to somebody to tell the story to somebody else, to somebody else, to somebody else. This is why I think that when it comes to society, particularly American society, we need to start looking into the mirror. We're saving so many other countries while our country is in shambles. We're saving other people from war when our people on our streets are at war. It makes no sense. It might not be as severe as their war, but yet alone it's our own war. So, you know, when we talk about these type of things, right, first and foremost, let me say I apologize to you because you weren't told the truth. I wish we could have had this conversation before, but everybody sort of went into a shell because it's shock. It's shock. When you go through gun violence or any type of trauma, you go into shock. You go into different phases. You have your denial phase. You have your phase of, you know, just making up different scenarios on why it happened. It's all different kind of things. But I would just say this. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't believe neither men should have died alone when they had people around them all the time. But it was a telltale to me on watch on who you have around you and who you call friend. Because I'm that friend. Somebody shot a bullet towards you, they're going to have to shoot both of us. Everybody is not that way, and it's easy to say when you're not in that particular situation because your body reacts without you even thinking out of fear. When you feel like death is imminent, sometimes your reaction is to run, right? Most shootings that they say, what's the first thing that people get hit, the innocent bystander, from running? It's a normal reaction. It's normal for you to have said those things, felt that way, to find someone else to blame. It's normal, believe it or not. It's normal. I wish that, and this is something that I talked about, and this is definitely confirmation because I talked about wanting to do a grief group or some type of trauma group. Because I believe as people sat down and talked, you would get rid of a lot of misconceptions. I apologize because I never stopped seeking the truth. So I spoke to many different people, and I can tell you there's maybe about 50 different versions of the same story, depending on who you speak to. Believe it or not, I'm sorry. I am so sorry that you suffered the loss that you suffered, because it was a grave and deep loss. But the good thing about it is you have the business, which I saw is the blackoak.com. Or is it blackoakforever.com?
That's the online store.
Yeah, I'm trying to see that because I just saw that. I think it's Black Oak Forever.
Mm-hmm. That's the online store.
Okay. That's the online store. So even though we're expressing they're kind of purging out these things, at the light at the end of the tunnel, you took the baton and you're passing the torch. You're passing the torch as if to say that everything, yes, Black Oak Forever. I see it now.
I did that. I didn't want his dream to die with him. My brother been working on that 1996. He called it for Black Oak Enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And he did all out the business plan and everything. I seen it. And it was him on there as the CEO. On the CEO. His mother was a part of it. And I think he had her as the, I guess you could say, the secretary. Right. And
yeah, definitely. Because you guys always had the business.
I can remember, but started in 96, and he was like, "Y'all want to do fashion?" Because that's when he was getting into photography. He was like, "I want to bridge into fashion." He said, "I want to do artist development and all that." So this is all I wanted to do. Under the name Black Oak. And he started, he was managing Jay Wright for a little bit. So he was doing the music for a little bit with Jay Wright. He was doing the photography because he started out taking pictures of, you know, taking pictures of people using them as models, because he took pictures of us. Nard took pictures of me, sure he did. But I know he took pictures of Anna, and he was using her like a model. He had pictures of Anna, as he knows. And then when Baba Feeney started doing his comedy thing, if you go, that should be on YouTube. There's a video on YouTube that he posted with him talking. Baba Feeney, him talking with my cousin. My cousin had just started his label, Glory Avenue. So he was and he had two artists under his label. So he was talking with them, photo shoot with them. And he videoed that. That's on YouTube. So I'm like, he wanted to do all that. He started a magazine. You Google it, but put Black Oak and spell it the way he put it. Put Black Oak Magazine, it'll come up. It should come up when you Google it. And you'll see the different pictures he did. Jay was on the cover. Cool Herc was on one of the covers. My museum, who's an indie artist, he was on one of the covers. Wasn't on the cover, featured in the issue about rock music and all that stuff. So he was doing a lot with the name Black Oak. And I'm like, you know, this tragedy happened to him, and I don't want it to happen to him. I don't want, you know, some work hard, to put some to, you know, something out there, and then it died. It was like
his legacy, for his legacy to live on.
Right. So
amen.
When that happens, you know, when people when that happens, it's like it's two deaths instead of one. You know, the death of he works to try to get people to see vision. And, you know, people finally, later in the years, he was starting to see who he is. But I wish they would have reported it sooner. At least it would have been really off the ground the way he wanted it. So that when he said, oh, I know, yeah, but not. So when people saw me put it up there on social media and they saw the shirt, oh, I like that, I want to show, even if I never met my brother, like one of the artists whose music I play, she was like, yeah, I want a shirt, and she don't even know who my brother is, talking about I want a book, because I got t-shirts made that Black Hole Forever on it, and she was like, I want a shirt, and she don't even know who my brother is or what Black Hole is about, but she was, you know, and get it. And then
I think we got to keep promoting. We got to keep pushing, promoting. And like you said, it might not be the local people. It might be people internationally. And sometimes we have our scope on, let's say, for instance, you say, God, you know, I just want a car. Well, God has so much more for you. Maybe he has your own dealership for you. So, you know, I would just say to you, keep striving. You've come this far, and I'm trying to get like you, sis. I'm trying to uplift, do something greater than myself. Leave a legacy behind.
I changed it.
The fact that me and you are having this conversation right now, on the platform that you have. And I'm able to speak about something internationally, and you talk internationally, that's confirmation there that nothing happened in vain. And that,
and
no,
so,
it did not die with him.
So neither I changed. I said, you know what? Stuff that he wanted to do under the Black Oak, let me change it into a foundation. And my idea for it, as I mentioned this many times on this, wanted to do. He wants, you know, help artists, not like, he wants to help artists. So my idea was, if you want to sing, I'll get a person to teach you how to sing. You want to rap, I'll get a person to teach you how to rap. Everybody thinks they can rap, but they really can't rap. I said, you want to be a producer, somebody, you know, to come in and get you production. So that was like initiative that I have, where people will come in, like if you want to learn, even if he's not, he can dance, not a professional dancer, but no, if somebody wants to learn dance, somebody come in and teach dance. And these, you know, like place person come in and say, well, I don't want, person say, well, I don't want to sing, but I want to be a songwriter, have someone who's done it, successful, come in and teach them how to be a songwriter. And this was my initiative to get these kids off. You remember growing up? Grew up at, there was nothing to do but hang outside.
Well,
that's
once we hit a certain age mark, we were too old. We aged out of Kids Bay. We aged out of the dance classes. So at a certain age, yes, you know.
But I'm saying even when we were young, a few things, but it didn't last. I was in the point where we lived at. I we had one of the storms just chilling in front of the store. There was nothing. I see these young kids out here where I'm at in Jersey, and I'm like, they could be doing something totally different hanging in front of the store. There's nothing special about hanging in front of a store. We did it when we were, like, their age, but now, at this time.
You know what I think separates people, Shanita, to be honest with you? First of all, is how you're taught. We're in a society now where a kid could be 5 years old and have their own business. It's what you're taught. And really, to be honest with you, when did the whole owning your own business boom really happen? Within the last 10 years, right?
Huh?
I could say roughly 15. The big boom of people owning their business. This is something recent.
Yeah. And you got kids. There was a story that I read with a mother, instead of, you know, when kids hit teenage years, but instead of doing like a car most teenagers want, birthday because they ain't able to drive, my daughter, like, or whatever, started a business for her daughter. When her turned 16, instead of buying her car, like, you know, most at age say, can I get a car? I'm able to drive now. Can I get a car for my birthday? That mother said, nope, I'm not getting my daughter no car, not getting any material things. Her daughter up. She got her daughter a business for her 16th birthday. And I think it was like a cosmetic business or something like that. At 16, you got your own business that help you pay for college, decide you want to go to college or continue working in the business. At 16, you got that. Most 16-year-olds don't even have that. And still have of going to college. Most kids ain't even thinking about starting their own business at 16.
I don't even think we knew about that. Had we knew about that, we would have been millionaires by now.
If our parents would have been like, you know what? Instead of my daughter, whatever she wants, no, I'm going to start her business at that age. So when
remember, our parents were taught go to school, get a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to school. Nowadays, a lot of these companies, they're not looking necessarily for a degree. They want to know, do you have the skill set? You can have a degree and still don't master the skill set.
But, see, that's the way jobs are, the way these companies make to hire people, and they say, well, you got to have such of experience in order for this company to hire you. But I was telling me I need experience in order to be hired. How am I going to get experience? How am I going to get experience? Where am I going to get experience from? And then you think, like, kids come out with degrees. Like you said, I got a degree, so I have experience. Yes, my degree is in the field, but I have experience in the field. Graduated college. I have no experience. A lot of people who go to college get a degree in one thing and their job ends up being in another thing because they have the experience that most of these companies are asking for in their field, or they lost interest in the degree in that field. They lost interest in it. I think the
pandemic was a blessing and a curse, right? Since the pandemic and people had to work remotely, they found the cheat code, per se, that a lot of jobs didn't necessarily have to be in the office 9 to 5, right?
Yeah.
So some people, a lot of people suffered. A lot of people suffered. But a lot of people in between there said, wait a minute, I can do this job. I could do 3 of these jobs from home.
Yeah. Because
so
a lot of these remote jobs are customer service jobs. So where you have a customer call saying, oh, I ordered this such and such, and I want to know when my order's coming or how when I got my order, there was no process to return it. How can I return it? And I'm sitting there in your house telling them how they can return it. And they think that you in the office somewhere. No, you're in your house telling them how to return it. Helping them with the issue that they have, but you're sitting at home. So just how many companies you could work for doing customer service. You could work for like different, you could work for Amazon doing customer service. You can work for like Walmart doing customer, you can work for Target all from your home. 3 different businesses doing customer service at home. They're not in the office, at home.
Look at another sector that took a big hit, but also bloomed in a whole nother way. Remember hotel and restaurant hospitality, that hospitality field, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of restaurants had to close, but then they would start their own business without the restaurant, food trucks. Remember, I don't even know if you remember that, but years ago, that's always my dream, and I'm still holding on to that dream. I didn't let that dream go. I still want my food truck. But tell you a quick story, I did an audition, a presentation for the Small Business Administration with the City of New York. I had went to an internship.
Oh, the SBM. Okay.
Yes, remember I had did the presentation and everything, and the only reason why they didn't accept me at the program, this was December of 2019, was because my idea was based around a food truck, and the program was designed to help you to open up a restaurant. They was going to give you $10,000 to start getting the licensing and everything, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give up on my dream of the food truck. I see this vision.
And you know.
Look what happened. But look what happened. They told me, no, your food is good. Your presentation is good. You have the personality. You have all the things that we can help you to get there. But because my plan was a food truck plan, it couldn't happen.
And
I ain't going to lie to you.
I watched the Food Network, and there was, I can't remember what show it was. There was a show. The guy started out with a food truck and did very well in the food truck and was like, now I'm ready for a brick and mortar of the restaurant. Instead of just the food truck, now I'm ready for a brick and mortar. And there are some people who go the other route and start a restaurant, and then like stuff, and like the pandemic happened, people come in, they gotta wear masks. Or when it was completely, had the restaurants completely shut down, you lost a lot of
businesses
but
got shut down. restaurants that was open for years, businesses that was open for years.
Yeah, had to shut down.
And what happened? Now instead of them changing the system so that, you know what, you know how much it takes to open up a restaurant?
It's a lot. That's why
it's easier to get a food truck. And they did not change the system on that. They did not.
The people who open restaurants, they get silent investors. So you don't even know who your partners are in the restaurant. Or the corporations that do that, they invest in restaurants.
Exactly, because licensing, coding, local and state regulations, laws, licenses, it can run you over easily $100,000. Easily.
I looked up the price. I remember years ago I looked up the price for the truck. And at that time it was $20,000.
I think that with the pandemic, it's a new opportunity for a lot of new businesses to flourish. You don't have to have, like you said, big corporate money behind you. You have to have determination, will.
Like, just look at online boutiques. You don't need a brick and mortar to sell clothes. You don't need a brick and mortar to sell clothes. This online stores were created. You can sell the same products you would sell in your brick and mortar store. You can sell in the online store for the prices that you were going to sell it for. And what makes it so good to have an online store for those who are into fashion is because you work with online sites that produce the product for you, so where they ship it for you, produce it and for you, you're good. But if you want to buy you still have an online store, but if you're doing it where you have to come out your pocket and ship a lot of money to the pandemic, the ship stuff has changed. And plus, when you're shipping, goes by the weight of what you're shipping. I was on a website. And I saw how much it would cost just to see how much it would cost for them to ship it. To ship it was more than what the item was worth. Just to ship the item was more than what the item was worth because they were offering the item at a discount. And that's okay.
That's the marketing gimmick. That's the marketing gimmick. That's the marketing get you. You can get this product for cheap, but you're going to pay triple to ship it because of where it's being sent from.
There's a couple that I saw on Facebook and also social media, and their platform is about love and relationships, but you don't have to be a couple, you know, to interact with them. And a company out of Detroit, the lady makes these good pies. The pie costed $26 for the pie. I think it was like 22, but because we were in the pandemic era, more to the pie than what the pie was worth. Because of in the pandemic error. When shipping stuff, it goes by weight of the product. Whatever shipping goes by weight. They put it in the box, they're going to ship it in. be it. And now we tell them what that is. So if the item is cheap, you're not going to, even though you want it, you're not going to spend an arm just to have them ship it to you. So, and the
idea, it would be the perfect time. Now, why is it that Amazon can get a package to you before the postal service?
Because Amazon fulfillment centers all over. So say like you order something from Amazon, that ships your package the same day to their fulfillment center, and then the fulfillment center brings it to you. So there's one where I'm at, and not close to me, but like maybe like it's in another Jersey. Whenever you order something, it goes to that fulfillment center in Jersey, and then the drivers bring it fulfillment, whatever you ordered. There might be, that item might be already at the fulfillment center. So when you put an order, it'll come up on the fulfillment center's board and say, oh, item number seven. And the fulfillment center says, oh, you got this. That's why it's so quick, because the fulfillment center has it. And when you're ordering off of Amazon, some of the items are third-party items. That's why they might be longer. Might be third-party. A third-party might be the one selling the item. As through Amazon, though, you got to be, make sure you go from Amazon. Amazon, that is not party. I'll tell you now, but those who like ordering from Amazon because it gets there so quick that when you order something from a third party through Amazon, when you got, if you have to send the item back, you're not sending it back to Amazon. You're sending it back to the third party. My mother ordered something from Amazon, and it was third party. And when she went to ship it back, they thought it was going to cost her $25 to ship it back. And she didn't get that much to even get the item. That shipped back to them. Plus, the third party was in another, the third party, another country. So you have to think that too. That if your party's in another country, they have to go by the country that the third party's in. They gotta go by their shipping rules. That's why it costs so much sometimes to send stuff back. Hey, am I not paying that much to ship it back? So she wound up just keeping it. So when you go to tacoforever.com, the online store, you'll see a lot of prices that I set for the item. It depends on what the item is. I set prices real because the store itself also needs to make a profit. So I make it as reasonable as I can on the price so that the store will make a profit. Because I've seen prices on people's, I'm like, the item don't look, it's not worth that. That what people sell, and the item's not worth that price. That's why I'm sure when I put stuff out there in the store and that it's price, and that even with the shipping, it is not much. And if you go to the website and you order something, you will see at the top there's a promo code that get free shipping. So if you put the promo code in, you will get free shipping. So if the item that is $4.99, that's all you pay, is just the $4.99.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, you when you go on the website, you'll see at the top, it'll say use this code for shipping. And then you use the price, even if the price is, let's say, 20-something, you're just paying, if it's $20.99, you're just paying $20.99 because you use the code. But if you get to use the code, then you're going to have to pay whatever the thing is. So it's going to be shipping, tax and shipping. That's going to be tax. So if it's $20.99, I'll say it's about maybe $1 change in tax plus. But the shipping is the code. If you use the code, you're just paying whatever the tax that they, because if you're in a different area, if you're in a different area, you know, every state has their own tax that they charge. So it's really based on tax. So when the state tax, whatever you, that tax is going to be item, and that's all you pay when you use the code. And sometimes code change, it may not be free shipping. It could be a code where you get 10% off whatever the item you're buying. But I would say if you're buying, if the item is like, some people sell items, you know, for like $6. Some people might sell it for $6. If the item is $6, you do not need the 10% code. It's only $6. Some online stores may apply 10%. They might automatically apply for you, but... But if the item is like $6 and the code is 10% off, you do it, but the people you're buying from are not really making no money. Because you're... So that's what I do. I make sure that the prices are reasonable.
I'm looking at this website. And this is really dope. Like, the whole layout of it is very simple and easy. You know, I'm definitely going to support it. As soon as I'm able to, I'm definitely going to make up how I even see. Is this crazy?
So you will see, like, there's hoodie, there's T-shirts, these. Stuff, Black Oak on it is T-shirts. It's going to say Black Oak Foundation. And the other stuff that say Black Oak. So there's for the found ones that say Black Oak Forever Foundation is a hoodie, a T-shirt, it's a notebook, a little notebook, a mug. There's a mug. There's a canvas bag. You know, a half of the world, you can just go to the website. Because I know people hear it and they think it's spelled B-L-A-C-K-O-A-K. No.
No, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that one.
No, because the way it's said, people listen to how it's said and think it's that way. So they might... put it in, so that's why every time I mention it, I got it out. So, spell it right. More stuff will be added. And you see this, that is Jay Jasani. That's my brother's name, his name, and his kids' names. So that's what the Jejusani stands for. In his three kings. And you're out of the shirts, the t-shirts that say hashtag same t-shirts. Those are part of the initiative. So when I would do, when me and my brother Radio would do a show together, we always talk about kids being bullied. So, and you look on there, you would see it, stop being bullied, be a friend. I stand up for bullying. See a mug that says that stop being a bully, be a friend. I stand up for bullying. See that on the mug. There's one for domestic violence. You see the shirt that says fire as far as the violence initiative. Here was domestic violence. To stop the violence. Yeah, I think it might be another one I just can't remember right now. And those are the initiatives that when we was doing our show, that's like every time we did the show, we talked about some kids out there that was being bullied. We were talking about women in violent situations. You know, sharing, you know, about my brother, you know, that's what happened to his best friend. So that's another reason, you know, when the initiative started. And then to every time you read an article, you hear in this state, sometimes go by police, so violence going around the country, and so we said we're going to have those initiatives because that's what we talked about a lot. So I said, you know, make the t-shirt. So on this show started, I said, you know, mixtape together. I don't know nothing about putting the mixtape together, but the artist who I play patient, I hit them up and said, I told them the situation, I want to put a mixtape together, you know, I put this mixtape together, and they sent me songs, and I put it together, I put it on Spotify, SoundCloud, on SoundCloud, on there, and then I downloaded it and played, you know, every once in a while on the show where I play the, and I think it's about 10 tracks that sent me to play it. And I was like, I want to do another, I want to have a physical CD, you know, get participants in a physical CD so that I could put it up on different sites to where artists or to where the artists can still get their royalties off the music. So I'm thinking I want another one. I really need help on that one because I don't know nothing about putting one together to physically have one so people can, you know, purchase it or on a website so people could download it. And I do that, the proceeds are going into the foundation just like the online store. Anybody buy something from the online store, the money goes to the Black Foundation. And I really need to get it. I must get it off the ground. Because I was like, the ideas that come into my mind that I wanted to do, I was like, you know, yeah, I got to make it a foundation. Then I could do all I want to do. Because I was like, you know, he went to photography. Was in the cooking, so I was like, if I can get a scholarship put together, and if I was going to culinary school, they could get a scholarship to help them with culinary school. Anybody was going to college and was taking up photography, get a scholarship, I can do photography since my brother was into that. And when I looked up, you know, do like a scholarship, they have this where you can people can donate that money be put into for the scholarship.
I think we got to get you to network so that it's a broader spectrum of you know, it's just like when like for me, right, I don't have a website. So in order to really contact me, you have to go through my social media. Everything is social media now, which is crazy, but that's what it is. So Instagram, you mentioned Instagram, right? They said Instagram is almost like having a website. You can have an Instagram page and don't have a website and have a successful business. Isn't that crazy how it's changed?
But you know what? You need a Google number. That's what I have as a business number. A Google number that you can use as a business number.
Yeah, because I'm not going to lie to you. It'll forward
directly to your phone. People that want to contact you that don't know you, you can give them a Google number. And it'll forward directly to your phone. So it's like they're calling your phone anyway, but they just going through your Google number.
Thank you for saying that, because no one ever told me that.
And it's easy to set up. It's easy. It's not hard to set up either. When you go, you're going to voice.google.com, and it's going to come up. If you have a Gmail email, that's the best email to use. If you don't have one, you can easily just one up, and you can use that as your business email. Just, you know what I'm saying? You can use Gmail as your business email, attach that to your number, and go to your cell phone or whatever phone you want to phone it to. And when people call you, Google voice number will come up. Answer, the operator will say. You can have it where people say their name, and then the operator say, you got a call, and the person will say their name, and the first one to answer, or two, for them to go, you want them to go to voicemail. It's as simple as that. If you want to set one up, I can help you with all of that and tell you how to do it. And when people call you, like, for business purposes, there's a number. You could put the number on your social media pages. So if people want to contact you, they contact that business number. And they're all going to one phone and the email. So they'll contact you. Say you missed a call, send your email saying you missed a call from, and it'll tell you the number of the person. It won't say their name, it'll just say their number. It always go to voice.google.com to always check. And it's just like having a second cell phone without actually having a second cell phone, because they also text you as well through the Google number. That's just so good. They can also text.
I'm looking at it right now.
And it'll give you a list number. You take one that's easy for you to remember. So that's the thing when picking numbers, it's not easy to remember. And then say send your email. Even if you don't want to use Google email, you'll use another email. Now, email us at Google Voice. And you could, if you know, when you have to make calls for business, you could use a, you don't want people to have your number, just use a Google Voice number. And you good to go. It's like having a second cell phone without having actually having a phone and worrying about paying for like a minute. Because when I started this, I say, when I started the station, I said, I need a number. So you know how you do. And you say numbers that, you know, free numbers, this came up. I was like, this is so dope that not only having a second phone, but you as well, like a phone. So I don't even have to call you, text you, send you a text. I have to send you a text. Or if you want to, if they want to call, just send a text, they'll answer. My thing is, my business hours, because you hear me 11 o'clock on the radio, doesn't mean 11 o'clock at night you can call me to talk business. My hours, like everybody else, 9 to 5. But if I see, like, if I see a text, to the text, but like a call, I might not answer. I will answer because it's just a text. Okay, who this is? They'll tell me who I'm in. Yeah, this is. You know, I don't mind. But I'll help you out. You know.
Extra. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I really
that
do.
That will help you out. Business-wise, that will definitely help you out.
I had no idea, Shanita.
I didn't have until I Googled for a number, but all these other, there was another site that I used that I can't remember. I think they're in business anymore. With this site, they gave you a number, and then the number, and then it was a pin. I think it was like they gave you a, it also was a pin so that if you wanted to do like a conference call, you can give people the pin to a conference call. They will call the number and then put in the pin to do like a conference call. I was like, nah, I don't want that. It was, yeah, first, and then they changed, so once I hit, changed it, and I was not free anymore. I was like, nope. And then when I found Google Voice, I was like, it's free. I had a pass in. They gave me a number. What's to my phone or whatever phone I want to forward to. So you don't have my personal number. Unless I report you. Giving you my personal
Yeah, it's the weirdest, it, the world is very weird now, so that would be a great suggestion. And I just want to thank you so much for all of your hard work, your dedication, your determination to keep the legacy of Black Oak going, like you said, forever. I wish you much, much, much more success. In any way that I can help, I'm more than happy to help you. You know, it's like I'm looking at things from a different perspective now in life, and see that, you know, we got to pull together to help build one another up, help promote each other. And
oh,
I
yeah,
thank
I have to give you.
You
I have not to cut you off, but I have a bracelet. I got to give you one. That I'm. It says Black Oak on it, and on the other side, it says R.I.P. J. Snoop, I think J. Snoop. So I'm gonna have to give you the bracelet.
I'm thinking about hopefully I'll be in New Jersey this coming up weekend. It's a lot going on, you know, with us with the holidays. I hope that you have a wonderful holiday. I know this time of the year when everybody is like out there and they're cheerful and they don't understand that everybody doesn't have that experience, right? But stuff like this and the opportunity for you to even have me to be able to share my story with you and abroad.
I was like, you know what? I gotta have one for you to really be able, like, not on the promote show, but just on a regular show to have you really share your story.
I would definitely be more than honored to come on as many times as you need it, because there's so many things that I can touch on, from mental health to gun violence to the ripple effect of gun violence. It's so many different things that we could just touch on in general. I think that the first and foremost thing that you're doing by having a talk radio, that's the first step, is to get people to talk.
Because I used to do a show called RTS Book Club, World Starting Book Club. And I stopped doing, I said, because, what I would do is I would read, if I came across a book and I liked it, I would read a few of the chapters on air and then tell where you can go get the book. That's what I used to do. I stopped doing it. And also on that show, I would interview authors, you know, and they would talk about their book and how long they've been an author and all that stuff. And I was thinking of bringing it back.
It's so many different things that you can touch on that particular thing. You could particularly go on wellness, or even just, you know what, think about this, or how to start a business, or how to start a talk show. Sometimes the knowledge that you have is worth more than you even know. You could do a class.
I tell people how to, you know, if you want to do a podcast, if I come across any information, I share it. There's different ways of podcasting. You could do podcasting where they visually see you, and you could do podcasting where they just hear your voice. And some people, you know, take the option of them just hearing their voice, because, you know, some people don't like being in front of the camera. So they well, you just hearing your voice, and then some like to be in front of the camera.
I just had this thought. Isn't it amazing how me and you used to sit in the background of when, like you said, the bricks were being laid down for the foundation of Black Oak, right? We were in the background of it. I never wanted to be the forefront person. I told you my thing was food service. So this is all very
When you mentioned one food truck, you wanted a food truck as well? He wanted a food truck. I remember him and my brother. I had discussed, and you know, in the back of the building, remember the blue and white truck that used to be in front of the post office? Well, one time, because There was no spot in front of where they used to park on the postal. I think this was like on the weekend, like a Saturday. They parked right behind the building where the health center was. The blue and white truck parked there. And I'm like, why is it parked all the way over here? And I never used to see them on a Saturday. But I think it was like the weekend, and they was there for some reason near the health center. Him and my brother, he was like, he wanted to do a food truck. And I think that's what him saying that. Him and my brother having that discussion made me look up how much it would cost to get one. And when I looked it up, it was $25,000. But some people, what they're doing, they are buying. I've seen the person bought an old school bus. They bought an old school bus.
Yes, I think I saw that, and they renovated it to, like,
I read an article, the person bought an old school bus. Half of it is the food truck, and the other half is you could come on the bus and sit and eat. I was like, that's a genius idea, because sometimes it may be snowing, you may be out there, it may be raining, snowing or whatever, the weather just may not be good, and you out there and people from you, but they could come and they could sit down and eat as you prepare the food.
That was genius, because I think that there's a big thing that's happening right now in our society that we're missing. It was a lot of new opportunities, and there are a lot of new opportunities with our new way of living. Right? With the pandemic, I don't believe COVID is ever going to go anywhere. I mean, the flu never left.
The COVID is still going to be but not going to be as big as it was during the pandemic. It's going to be just like how the flu is, where it takes every year when they come near flu season to get your shot. That's how COVID will be. Every year they're just going to take just get a COVID. If you haven't had a COVID shot, just go get a COVID shot. That's all.
I hope that you're right, but the fact that what made COVID is just as dangerous. Like, remember when we had the Ebola? That was under the administration of Obama. He dealt with it swiftly. He quarantined them swiftly. It never spread, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, COVID is worldwide. So with something like that, it's going to evolve. It's going to mutate, so to speak.
See, when it first happened, they didn't know what it was. But what messed up is that our president at the time was told about it, but he did nothing about it. Before it really took a widespread, he knew what it was, he just didn't do anything about it. So,
you're absolutely right. And, you know, like now it's at a point where we're neither here nor there now. I think that it's going to create new opportunities for, like you said, new businesses, new fields, new products, new ways of, I don't think the whole restaurant thing, like the outside igloo thing, you know, it's a whole nother lane that has been open, so to speak.
Something, and I was watching the Food Network, and the guy, he has a beer garden. So basically, a beer garden is just an outdoor space, and always drink, and all about is, I think, beer and wine. And so he doesn't have a restaurant part. So what he does in his beer garden is he has food trucks come come and they sit in his beer in his place that he in the beer garden, and they have food while people sit there and beer. He don't have a liquor license. He can beer and wine. I think he needs to do hard liquor. He would have a license. But beer, for right now, I think it's just beer. So the food trucks come. He grabbed the hot food trucks in the area, had them come sit there, and they sell it. People sitting and drinking beer.
You know what's so crazy that you said that? Because my family had the same concept and idea, and they're in Jerseyland. They have a Jerseyland Community Center, and that's what they plan on doing 2023 is uniting everyone in the family who has their businesses and is somehow with each other networking. So, you know, hopefully, definitely, first and foremost, anytime you want me back on the show to talk about any subject, you always have me here. I think, is going to be a year where new tasks, new things, and new opportunities are going to present themselves. I'm sorry.
Because we like to cook, but I'm, you know, people who like to cook, my cousin, so she started her own catering business. And from that, she was on hands with sell plates. And I grew into making it a catering business. Got her LLC and everything. Then from doing that to creating her own seasoning. So on her website, you can order seasoning. I think it's a three set of knives. I think it was on the web, a cast iron pan, mitts and stuff like that. All from her. All about were her just selling, and then turning into an actual business.
Wow. Oh, and wait a minute. Hold on. I have to promote one more business. Speaking of catering businesses, I work with my daughter, Delicia, and she has an Instagram page, and she does catering, which, you know, I did for several years. You know, that's where I got it from, basically, was that's who got me into it was Will. He gave me that passion to want to cook and, you know, to love to be in the kitchen. That was our favorite place. And I'm trying to look for the website real quick. D. Light.
So,
okay, I want to make sure I'm saying it correctly because I want to go to her page. Okay.
So, okay. You know, I love to cook too. So my nieces and nephews, Corita, my nephew Jay gave me that name. So when you see me post on Instagram, before when I was posting food, I was just posting. And now when posting food stuff, you will see that hashtag, or you will see in the video with the food item, say Dita's Kitchen. So I have that idea. That would be a family business to where I was thinking of launching my own seasoning because I come up with so many, when I cook, I come up with food items. Like, you hear people say, oh, she doesn't go with seasoning, and then you hear about somebody the dish with cheese and seafood. So I'm not when I'm creative where I put things together that you normally wouldn't be together when making food. So So I was like, I wanted to get into the catering thing. Even though I love to cook, I don't. Not all, but see what a lot of people go through being in the catering business. You know, people all say, okay, you have my caterer, what I want, and then you make what you want, and then they're like, no, I don't want this anymore. And it's like you spent your time making this stuff, they want it, and then all of a sudden they change their mind, they don't want it. So, what is my dish I love making? I'm always making Mexican in the house. I'm always doing Italian. And making mac and cheese when I make mac and cheese. I love making mac and cheese. And I don't use, everybody always put out their recipe, the cheeses I use. Like, I put out what cheeses I use. Everybody don't use mac and cheeses. Like me the same, but not everybody uses the same cheeses. Recently made, for the first time, I just made Mexican lasagna.
Ooh, how did that come out? How did that come out?
It was good, but the thing I didn't like, the only thing is that when you have a recipe for it, it tells you tortilla as your lasagna noodle, being when you eat it and you're eating tortillas. I think it came out good, but I used the wrong pan to make it in, because it's supposed to be, when you cut it, it's supposed to be, just how when you cut lasagna, you cut yourself a square or a rectangle, depending on how much you want. How it's supposed to come out when you cut it, but mine didn't come out that way. It was good. So I said, I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to actually use lasagna noodles, because there was a recipe, when I Googled it, there was a recipe for me to actually use lasagna noodles. So I'm going to try it that way. I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to try lasagna noodles. And the recipe that I looked at said you can use the salsa as the sauce. So instead of, like, you know, traditional, you got tomato sauce, well, Mexican lasagna, it was thick. One recipe said use anchovy sauce. Another recipe said you could use salsa. So that's what I did. I used the salsa. And it was good. Ooh, this is good. But I said probably much better if it was an actual lasagna noodles.
Wow. You know, I've really stretched myself, like, far as, you know, like you said, experimenting and making new things than just the ordinary, especially now since the pandemic, everybody's been online, you know, looking at different type of things and tweaking it themselves. And I think that was the thing where I had pushed my daughter, like, listen, I'm not always going to be able to be the one to do all this cooking. I'm going to need you to step up. And I have to say, when it comes to certain things, like her empanadas, she's famous for her empanadas.
I made that before. I've tried that for the first time that before. I think I posted pictures on my Instagram of me making empanadas.
And when I tell you that, I can honestly say, you know how most chefs be like, oh, no, that person can't cook as good. Certain things she cooked better than me. Like, she made string beans for Thanksgiving that, to me, it tastes better than my grandmother's. I couldn't even touch it. And I said, wow, you know, we got to pass the baton. We got to, you know, uplift the next generation, too. So I found her. I found her Instagram, and it's D. L-I-T-E, and it's not a space. I guess that's the lowercase. It's like a, is that a hyphen? Is that a, it's D-L-I-T-E, I guess you could say space taste is her Instagram. Again, DLITE space TASTE. Delight Taste. And, you know, we're just going to pass the baton and we're going to keep it going for 2023. We're, I actually spoke to her today about renting a table to do a pop-up shop at the end of January. So that's another thing that a lot of people are into now, the big pop-up shops where you can rent out your table and you can sell anything you want at this pop-up shops. That's another big wave, too. See this? Oh my God! I'm just looking at this one. I'm like, oh, it's making me hungry. But do I have you on my Instagram? I'm trying to make sure.
Yeah, we have each other on Instagram. I'll go through your page to find her page, and then.
Oh, you know what? Now that you say that, I'll send something from her page. What's your Instagram name?
It's Road to Stardom. And then the other one, the second one is the dope one. I'm on the most is the Road to Stardom one.
Okay.
And it's spelled with W-O.
I'm all new to this whole thing, so you got to bear with me because I'm like, it's like, you know, some people say, oh, they want to start them. It's like learning things on the... Oh, what does your icon look like? Is it a
It's my logo.
Red carpet?
No, it's my logo. It should be a black logo.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't put these spaces between that. What?
It's a black logo that says "Road to Stardom" on it.
City of Way to Fame, vote no. Well, okay, so spell it out for me.
And so when you put the two, just T-W-O. Don't put the T-O because somebody else already has that.
I got you right up, yeah. As soon as you said that, yep, I got you. Okay, so.
Because okay. I definitely do, when I'm not live, I still put, you know, promote other businesses. If they post something, I say, oh, check out this or whatever. So okay. when she posts, to use a lot of I post my food. I would use like home, you know, say home cook, home cooking, my creation, like as a hashtag, and it will put her in with other people that cook.
Right. Wow.
Because when I post it and when you use the hashtags and other people see it, you know, leave a comment and say, this is nice. Because I've come across pages of my cook from me posting stuff from a few pages, and they be...
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fancy.
Ooh, barbecue pork fried rice. I'm seeing you looking at it now. That sounds good.
I think the last food thing I posted the of my own. I don't remember the last thing I posted.
Breakfast quesadilla. Breakfast quesadilla.
I think the last one I posted was the.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, the breakfast quesadilla. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last one I posted.
Yeah. Your stuff looks really good. And I see something else that caught my eye here.
Polenta for the first time. Months ago, I met polenta for the first time.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks really good, too.
But usually polenta is a like a regular meal. Like, instead of mashed potatoes, they do polenta. And, they might do polenta with short ribs. I was like, you know, I'm going to have it first. And I took it, I made it, and put from the breakfast sausage, did that on top. So when I'm in the kitchen, I feel like when I really, like if I'm hungry and there's leftovers, sometimes I turn the leftovers into something else. If there's leftover rice, I'll fry rice.
I'm so much food now, and I'm like, that's the last thing I need to be doing right now is looking at all that food. You have a lot of good-looking food on that page, girl. Woo!
Yeah, I made lo mein for the first time. If you see the picture, yeah. I made lo mein for the first time. I love, even though when you make lo mein, you use spaghetti, but you can substitute spaghetti for lo mein noodles if you have it. Because they're about, I say lo mein noodles might be a little bit thicker. I don't know if it's a little bit thicker than spaghetti noodles, but if you substitute, you can substitute spaghetti noodles for lo mein noodles if you can't get access to, lo mein.
That is smart. Maybe that could be a niche too, to show people recipes with alternatives, because they don't really do that with recipes. That's why people get screwed up, because what if the person doesn't have access or doesn't have that product? What's the alternative? I think that's why a lot of people are turning vegan and just experimenting with different things.
Like, when I eat, we love oodles and noodles. So, the packet. Everything I have is a picture on my page where I had the oodles and noodles, made it like I was making. And then when I added to it, I took chopped up hamburger. An actual hamburger, because we have hamburgers, and these hamburgers, when you go to cook, will fall apart. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna use hamburgers a different way. So I had the noodles, I took chopped up hamburger, diced tomatoes, corn, and black beans, and I made a lot of it. Instead of eating the soup, I get a different type of food out of it.
Right.
Ate some. He was like, you know what this is? Like the meals that they have in, like, meals to do together. Because when they do commissary, they have oodles and noodles in there. He's like, this is like the meal, the jail we put in. And I was like, okay. I was like, I don't even have a name for it. It's usually like a dish I come up with a name for it. And I didn't even have a name for it.
Oh, I just seen that. That's you, Delta's Kitchen?
Huh?
Was that you, Delta's Kitchen?
No, it's no L. Dita. It's just D-E-T-A. D-E-T-A. That's the name my nephew gave me, because he couldn't say when he was a baby, he couldn't say my name, so he gave me the name. So all my nieces and nephews Call me that. So they don't call me by my government. That they call me that name. They call me by my. I don't answer. Because to me, when you're given a nickname, it doesn't matter who gave it to you, and you've been called that for so many years, it feels weird being called your actual name after. It just feels weird. That's why I say they call me that. So you know what? Since if I was to be wanting to cater or whatever, that's what would be my company, Deep Death Kitchen. Because I was always cooking and I'm coming up with, you know, especially when I'm cooking for myself. And if there's any type of meat, I will take that and make something else.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm glad we're connected. I am so, so grateful to you for having me on your platform. We touched, like, it felt like maybe like 50 different subjects, but it all tied into one thing, and that is, first and foremost, to promote your business, Road to Stardom. Celebrate your 100th episode. And boy, was it an episode. Can I just say that? We touched on a lot. And, you know,
yeah.
We need to talk behind the scenes. We need to have conversations behind the scenes and also on the scenes, you know, to help promote. And like you said, anybody else, not just us and our ventures, but the branches of the people that surround us. Our loved ones, their businesses, their ventures, their, and, you know, continue to promote Black Oak forever and just move forward into the holiday season. And let me say before I forget, happy holiday to you and yours. I hope I hope that you make beautiful memories with your loved ones. I'm fighting. I hear you coughing. God bless you. Or was that a sneeze? You coughing. And I'm
me
just
coughing.
Getting over.
Me coughing.
I just got
not
over being sick myself.
Lord,
I know, child, girl, all I can say to everybody is that mask up when you go out. The weather is switching up. Tomorrow's supposed to be in the 30s in the morning, in the 40s in the early afternoon, 50s with a heavy thunderstorm, and then drop down the next day or the next day after that into the 20s. And this is always the time of year. You ever notice this time of year? Especially since about 2019, everybody gets sick. You're lucky if you don't. But as we were talking, I have three garlic cloves in my tea glass, three slices of lemon, and two tea bags. Girl, it's been working. Because I was very sick yesterday. I, at one point in time, I said, oh, God, I can't say it. I don't want to go to this hospital. I've been doing the natural remedies. How about you?
I get sick, so but I do get sick. I get my nose and that's it. And I just have to lay down and then I'm better. I mean, a few times, but my nose. My head above me, so I just lay down, and that's it. I don't take no because you know I every 4 hours take Tylenol or whatever you take. And it's like I don't want to keep taking this medicine. I'm really doing that.
You ain't lying, because it seemed like once you start taking medicine, you got to take one medicine.
No, no,
this
I'm
take
saying
medicine.
For me, it don't really do nothing.
Oh.
For me, it don't do nothing. Just like when people say, you know, when I drink coffee, it gives me all this energy. You know, I drink coffee, you know, for me, coffee is opposite for me. When people say, oh, they get energy from drinking coffee, coffee, if I drink coffee, put me to sleep. And usually I drink the whole cup. Might drink half a cup of coffee, but sometimes I drink coffee and put me to sleep. And everybody else say, oh, no, I don't have energy to drink coffee. Nope, not me.
Wow. Well, everybody's
like,
different. You know, our genetic DNA code is different. Everybody's different. So, you know, I just know that the natural remedies has been helping.
Yeah, natural
so I'm gonna
remedies.
Keep...
I know natural remedies are going to work. But as far as, like, taking over-the-counter medicine, it don't, for me, it don't really work. Natural remedies will work.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. I wanna thank you so much for having me on again. And I would love to touch on so many different subjects.
Yeah, so I was thinking that too. I was thinking of taking the not this not done this guys. Where you see me on camera, and not people tuned in, but someone actually came to talk about their business. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do that, so I stuck to just doing it this way. And then I was like, the other I do on Wednesday, the weed from the pages to the airwaves, which is basically the entertainment show, talk about everything that was on in the news. Entertainment news, sports news, you know, celebrity news, whatever. I'll talk about it. So I thought about, you know, going live with that as a visual podcast. I'm like, I only like being in the camera, so you know, so I thought about it though.
I'm not gonna lie to you. This whole experience has had to get me outside of my comfort zone. And I deal with a lot of, first of all, I suffer with social anxiety. I really don't like crowds, a lot of people. These are things that I might have to face during the next year. And I'm asking God for his grace and mercy to help me do that, because often sometimes from us reaching the next level of blessings is often facing our fears or the things, our perceived fears. I also, believe it or not, had a fear and had to work on public speaking. Only, I think once you shed that need or thought of what someone else thinks or feels, and you stand and live in your truth, I think that you lose that insecurity about that, because now I'm just like an open book when it comes to when I've seen that when you take one step, once God throws it, says, listen, I want you to do this. I said, but I'm scared. But I want you to do this. But I'm scared. You say, you know what? I'm going to trust in you, God, because you're telling me to do this. It's for a reason. And once you do that, not only does it turn out just as he promised, but greater than you ever could have imagined. So hopefully, like you said, being on camera isn't a whole big thing. I mean, what's the whole big thing? But everything now, because of social media, is visual. That's the whole thing with TikTok. TikTok drives me crazy. Like, that's one app that I cannot be on for long because I get overstimulated. I get overstimulated. So I limit what I put into my mind, and I limit, you know, it's like navigating yourself through this new world. Because, you know, I can honestly say it, like, I was born in 74, so it was a different time from what we're living in now. So yep. Hopefully we can help each other. We can uplift each other. You can help me with some things. I can help you with some things. What I'm going to do is, because I know I'm talking to you on a different I'm going to send you my telephone number. And that way we can stay in touch with each other behind the scenes. You know, stay committed to our goal. Because slowly but surely, like you said, oh, yeah, that was Will's dream. But it wasn't just supposed to be a dream that I carry. But unfortunately, that's how it's going to be. So I know my daughter's interested in, you know, doing catering. You never know what God has ordained or planned for you. I might go back into food service. I don't know. But right now, I'm just exalting that beautiful piece of literature, which I'm a part of. And we're gonna continue this conversation for another day, because I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm getting tired. I'm getting exhausted. And my attention, like my, you know how some people have a short attention span? Mm-hmm. Like I'm one of those people. Like my attention can stay but so long. Okay. So I got you now. I'm going to send you my number right now. So I don't forget, because once I go to sleep, it's over. Okay, here we go. I'm sending you this through Facebook Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, thank you so much. Happiest 100th episode to you.
Thank you. Okay. All right, y'all. We done had, wow, a three-hour conversation. Me and my sisters, I want her to talk about the book she's a part of. I'm going to get off the line, but I'll tell you when the next business show is. And that is, let me tell you about her book again. It's called It's Your Time, Sis. The Amazon.com put in It's Your Time, Sis. It's an anthology book. And Shaquan Hoke, Shaquan Hoke, Hoke, is the one who put this book together. And if you sign up for Amazon's Kindle Unlimited, which is $9.99 a month, but if you sign up for that, they give you a month free, and you'll be able to read books. If you're avid, you'll be able to read books. Because I don't have a Kindle, so I don't, being able to have a Kindle, I have no way of reading the book unless it's in physical copy. Out physical copy yet. It's only digital. So I said, let me sign up with Amazon Unlimited, Kindle Unlimited, so that I could read. And I stated, I read her story. It almost made me cry, because even things were changed in the story. If you know, when you read it, if you know her, when you read it, you're going to know who she's talking, like, You never know. Okay, you never know what somebody's going through. Check on your family, your friends, those you truly care about. Check on those that check on you. So, the next promotion business show is going to be in December, January, Wednesday in the month 18th. January 18th is the next one. January 18th is the next one, so put on your calendar at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're central, it is 8 o'clock. If you're East Coast, it'll be 6 o'clock. If you're West Coast, Pacific Standard Time, so the difference will be 6 o'clock. Yep. So January 18th is the next one. I'm going to have my sister back so she can really, really get into telling her story. Even though you're going to, if you read the book, you're going to read some of her story. That part of her testimony is more to her testimony than what she put in that book. And from half her back, you can really share her story. I'll probably have her back when, physical copies. When the physical copy of the book drop, and this way, you know, there's a lot of people who don't have, who like to read but don't have a Kindle. They have the physical book. So yeah, for those that actually have the physical book, so when that drops, I'll have her back. She'll let you know that it dropped. She'll tell her story. You can call in and ask questions if you want to. You know, don't mind questions. You know, you can call in and ask the questions. So I say peace, one love. The next show I have you is the Indie Experience. You can never be the best in indie music. And as stated in previous shows, tomorrow, the ending things will be Christmas music. So today I gave in. Thursday will be Christmas music. Now,
hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.